Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, October 9th, 2022. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Growing Pains. Our text comes to us from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Today we're looking at something that I felt I needed to do because of the stuff that's going around. I'd like for us to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to read the whole chapter. And I encourage you to bring your Bible and to read your Bible. Sometimes you have it in an app, and that will be good. I will always bring this one here. I have computers galore. I have access to all that stuff. But there's something about me reading. And I just bought a brand new book. A great gentleman, a theology of Dallas Willard, and he's an incredible author, and he has passed away. I met him years ago. He was a professor at USC, but he's the one that is attributed with the whole movement of spiritual formation. It's an incredible man, and I saw it. It was recommended that I read it, and so I got it online, you know, and I began to read it. I said, I need to have this on print. So I'm a sucker for things in print. I like to have it in my hands, you know. But then there are others who grew up in a generation that they could do very well with an iPad or a computer, whatever suits you, but bring the scriptures to church so we can read them together. Now we flash them in the screen so that we can all see the version that I'm using and we can be at unity. And you know, I have a dream. Now that's original. I have a dream. That we'll all read the Bible together without making any errors, but it's just a dream. We start one place, we end in the other place, you know, it's just amazing. So we're going to just do it the way we will always do. So let's have it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, okay? Do we have that? She's looking for it. Oh, there you go. And it starts with Paul. I like that name, Paul. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you're enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. I'm reading. God is just. He will pay back trouble. To those who what?
Trouble you.
That's a lot of comfort, huh? Okay, let's move on. And give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. And verse 11 says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless the reading of his word.
Amen.
What a chapter, huh? Let me just tell you something, that your persecutions, your trials, your agonies are not in vain. It's a God who looks at everything. Nothing has escaped the Lord, nothing. And it kind of makes us chuckle, you know, that those who have caused us suffering and pain will have pain too. You know, let's be human here. I mean, sometimes we think that God is, you know, an old man, which is not a bad thing, but anyway, that God is has forgetful memories, and God knows. No one can fool God. So God knows the record. When a person comes to Christ, is wiped clean, and it all begins again. But those who insist in living in sin and refuse the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are presenting themselves for destruction. But that's not my message this morning. I'd like to begin by saying that churches always, especially in our generations, they take pride in many, many things. And an author was saying that they thank God, or they're proud of their large membership in church or their attendance. And others, they talk about their size of their campus, you know, as big as Beverly. others, the design of their building, you know, this is early 18th century. then others thank God for their, I'm proud of their wealth. Others make a lot of noise about their music. Others talk about social status of their members. Others talk about the predominance of their pastor, and you can be okay with that. Others think about their political power because they got people in the congregation, and they are very proudful that they have influence in the community, and especially when they have a zeal for a particular theological doctrine or cause. Then there are other churches that celebrate freedom from being anything of what I've just said, especially freedom from the traditional norms of worship. And here's when I'm going to get a little bit sticky, but some people believe that maybe psychology can take the place of God's word. Others, they get rid of their choirs and the hymns and the organs, and they get rock bands. Others replace their sermons with skits, and this is true, musicals and different forms of entertainment in an effort to create an environment that doesn't threaten the unbelievers. And believe it or not, the groups or the churches that I've just accentuated to you, they have become models that if you're going to be a successful church, these are the things you have to have. And I find it so difficult to believe, because when I go to the God's Word, specifically to the Thessalonian church, it had no buildings, had no programs, had no rock and roll band, it had no performance. It didn't even have publications. It was not a large or wealthy church at all. And the congregation did not have any political influence whatsoever. And they didn't even have a famous pastor. Can anybody tell me who the pastor of the church at Thessalonica was? It wasn't Paul, because Paul left. Paul only lasted there 3 weeks. I mean, who was that? Nobody knows. And though as much as they would like to, they could not provide for the prospective converts a comfortable entertainment environment. An environment that was non-threatening, I'll use the word, user-friendly. The only thing they could offer people coming to the church was persecution and afflictions. Verse 4. And yet, with all of those negatives, as we would process them, that they did not have, Paul commends them and tells them in verse 3 and 4, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting. And on, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God. This small church with no reputation to speak of, yet Paul said, we always give thanks to God for you. It's only fitting. We're proud of you. And we boast about you all over the place. And it was a church not large, not wealthy, being persecuted. What a complete change, isn't it? But now let's take our lives. Have you ever compared yourself to somebody else? Of course you have. And we look at ourselves and we compare ourselves to others and we say, you know, I don't have the faith that so-and-so has. I wish I had it because they seem to be so well. They seem to be cheery all the time, happy all the time. And did you see how well they dress? I don't know if you say that or not, but I'm just making it up. And you look around and you somewhat kind of like consider yourself a failure because you don't have the things that you perceive other people have. And you begin to self-doubt. You begin to doubt if your faith is everything it needs to be because you look at others and you perceive that those others have more than what you have. Happens all the time. And that's really problematic. Paul did not cater to that. Paul says to him or to them that their self-doubting is wrong because God has put the seal of approval upon each one of them. So sometimes our faith in the days in which we're living in today, wonder if you're going to stand the test. And, you know, and I know, I mean, they told me the gasoline was going down, and I found gasoline almost $7 a gallon. I went to the market. We're getting together today with Jennifer and Dan. Oh, but Dan, your birthday is here too as well. You're 50. Okay. Went to the shopping place, and what in the world is going on? And you say, Lord, will you help me? And the Lord says, I'll help you. But we feel like maybe it's gone too far. The economy, the gas prices, the food. Have you gotten your electric bill lately? Yeah, hurts. So Paul knows what they're going through. And he says to the Thessalonians and he says to each one of us, not to despair. He is not going to push you or me into further despair when things are going wrong, but he is going to say something. He's going to say what God has done in your life and how you prove that God is working in your life as well. You don't need to compare yourself with anybody else because God has already established a beachhead in your life and he's working things through. God is working in your life. I remember when things were rough years and years and years ago, and it was true, gas was going up, and I said, don't despair, the Lord will provide, and the Lord provided. Those of us who tithe, those of us who give, those who believe and trust that God has redeemed our pocket, the blessings never fail. And those of you who don't tithe, still God doesn't leave you. Shame on you. But anyway, let's move on. God works in our hearts and in our lives. And when things go wrong and you compare yourself with somebody else, you're in misery. And when you compare a church with another church, it's even worse. So let's look at what Paul said that the Thessalonians could really brag about, sort of. Like, you know, he said to them, look, you're a church that is alive. You may not have a rock band. You may not have a huge campus with worth millions and millions of dollars. You may not have anybody there that's famous. But I want you to know that God is doing something in your life. And he does it in the church and he does it individually. So it's only going to be a couple of verses. But look at what God has done to you and what God says the Thessalonian church had that they could be proud of. That you can be proud of yourself in the right sense of the word. The first one is verse 3. He says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing. Your faith is strong. You know, we sometimes forget that our faith grows. And Paul says, your faith has grown. Because the mark of an advancing Christian, the mark of an advancing church, is that they grow more sure of what Christ is all about in their lives. There comes an added security that God, who did not fail yesterday, will certainly not fail today or tomorrow. There is this growth of trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single day, we begin to see and understand that God is not asleep, that he knows what's going on in our lives and he doesn't leave us. It may begin as a theory, but eventually it develops into certainty. You believe and God works in your life and your faith grows. How many can compare the faith of yesterday to today? And by yesterday, I mean years and years ago. And now you've advanced and grown in your faith. How many have grown in your faith? Some of you don't raise your hands. Okay, I'm going to have to. Okay. David is afraid of me because I'm in a praying mood. I go and cast it out, you know. But it's true. Your faith grows. There's a growth. Somebody said, my mind is not like a bed that has to be made every day and remade. And there are some things of which I am absolutely sure that they won't change. That's our faith. Our faith grows. It develops. It becomes stronger. We trust the Lord. And the Thessalonians were growing in the midst of what we will see, great persecution. So one of the ways to measure your life and my life is to find out just exactly how we're growing. Take an inventory on how God has given you greater faith, and you appropriate a greater faith, and you know that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. It is going into the Word and reading the Word and finding in God's Word everything you need to live. One of the most amazing things about God's Word is that you can be reading genealogies and be blessed. You know, your genealogy is a bunch of names that you can't hardly pronounce. So-and-so begets so-and-so, and so-and-so begets so-and-so. And you look at it, and you say, I wonder what this is. Well, you were begotten too. That's about all you can say. You came from somewhere. But I mean, what I'm saying is that no matter where you're reading God's Word gets internalized. It goes inside of you. And it produces a fruit that you never expected. God causes that Word to come into your life, and it produces growth. You develop an appetite for things that God does. I read God's Word today, let's say, and I try to read a chapter or two a day. It's not legalistic, but I do it. I do everything. It's a discipline, and it's not easy to do, but you do it. And so I find out that what I read on Monday doesn't come to real fruition, or I don't see a benefit until I get to Friday. So I have to go Monday reading, and then it's Tuesday, and then it's Wednesday, and then it's Thursday, and then Friday, what I needed, I read it on Monday. So it's almost like you're filling up your reservoir, and the Lord then dispenses that as it needed. But when there's nothing to dispense, panic. That's why I encourage all of you, for your faith to grow is for you to be in the Word. To read God's Word. I'm not asking you to be legalistic about it, because some people say, I read a chapter a day or I die. No, don't do that, because you'll die in a week. Just simply say, I'm committed to prayer and reading. You read the Word, and the Word of God feeds your soul. And then your soul takes care of the rest of you. Read the Word. This Thessalonians were growing. They had faith. Amazing. Every Christian, my brothers and sisters, will have a thrill of experience in the gospel. You will. You come to Christ and it's wonderful. But the second stage is that you add discipline of thought. Don't ever be afraid to think. Hello, everybody. Don't ever be afraid to think. How many think? Oh, dear God. I'm glad the camera is not going through here. I should just have the church council right here in the front, you know, instead of you two. But see, I have not seen you. But you have to, from Christian saving faith to a Christian disciplined life. But it's discipline of Christian thought. You got to think it through. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ, and yet we don't exercise it as much as we should. It's an amazing statement. That you and I can have Christ thoughts. The thoughts of Christ. Think of it. Think of the power that is. That's another sermon. Second thing. So first, it was faith that it was growing. It was becoming more of a discipline. It was a thrill, but it's also now a discipline. You do that. A discipline sometimes is doing things you don't necessarily want to do it in the moment. Sometimes you don't want to do it, and when you don't want to do it is when you should. Amen. Somebody said amen anyway. It's true. Do it. Second thing is verse 3. And it's a love that is increasing. So you have faith that is increasing and love is increasing. Love should grow, should not go the other way. It's funny because sometimes people come to church and they say that they love the Lord, but they can't stand the people. Well, this is not what we're talking about, because the love which is increasing, a growing church, is a church that grows how? In greater service. Because love is proven not by words, but by acts. So how is your love life? How much do you serve? Have you engaged service? Or is church now a routine of sorts? Or a difficult obligation that you have to meet because of who you are or you think you perceive you are? So sometimes we forget that we're here to serve. We don't come to church to be served. We come to church to serve. Another word for serve is worship. We don't come to church to see what we can get out of God, but we come to church to see what we can give to God. It's a whole different attitude, because Christ dwells in us. He lives in us. He's in there. He lives in us. And our love is increasing, and the way we show love is by serving, by helping others. Our Christian faith, my brothers and sisters, will produce love. At the end of it, you will have greater joy by helping others than by you helping yourself. It's so much wonderful and better to give than what? To receive. So how's your service lately? Sometimes we go to the whatever's left of the mall in, what's this place? Industry. Everything's empty. So I always walk in through one entrance. And I've never told this to Wilma, but I have a temptation. I'll confess it to you. There's an army recruiting station there. And I'm tempted to say, I'm here to serve. I've often wondered what the recruitment guy will probably think I'm psycho, you know? And really, I said, I wish I could do something, but, you know, I passed my age and God delivered me from Vietnam. I signed up for the service. I'm a Vietnam guy, supposedly, but I was spared. Because I was in Bible college, they gave me a 4-D deferment, so I didn't have to report, and they gave that to me. There were other brothers and sisters at the college that they were there, and yet they were drafted. They went to NAM, and in the church that I used to attend, I think seven of the young guys went there, and only one returned. And I had my own Vietnam by going to Guatemala, but that's another story altogether. But I could not serve because of my age. I'm going to try to go in there and find out what they really tell me. But I want you to know that in the church, there's no age limit to serving. So don't come and tell me you're too old to serve, because I'll find something quickly for you to do. Don't tell me you're too weak or feeble, because you're not. All of us can serve, and we serve because it flows from love. And selfishness and happiness go hand in hand. It's when you do something for someone else. That's why in November we're doing this Feeding the Hungry, and we're planning it. It's coming to you. And working with Pastor Kevin, who has fed multitudes, and he works for Victory, Pastor Victory Outreach Church. He also helps us in our school. And yeah, you will help us, and I'm sure you will, and I know you will. And we will also be giving baskets to people who are in need, and we do that every year. Sometimes we make noise up here, sometimes we don't make noise. Most of the time we don't make noise. But I want to make sure that nobody in our church, at least, start here, goes without a turkey and whatever else we can find. And she's the one that organizes that along with a couple of other people. When I go like that, I refer to my wife, who's now Google checking me. I can't avoid it. It's the truth. I'm going to be in so much trouble today, but that's fine. Hey, I like living in daring lives. But that's one shot a year. We don't want you to serve once a year. I want you to help us. I want you to be there. We will do things. But the service which Paul was commending the Thessalonians was a 24-hour love growth that led to service. Trials. In the midst of trials. Your faith is growing and you're serving. And yet you see tribulation. Trial. It's wrong to presume that your faith will keep problems away. It's the truth. You will be victorious over them, but you have to face them. So Paul is telling them clearly that they had faith, they had love, they were serving people, and then he says that they were enduring. But the word enduring in the Greek is very special because it does not mean the ability to get beaten down and just gotten beaten down and feeling sorry for yourself, anguish for yourself. You know, how are you doing? Well, you're suffering. Going through this trial, brother. When God eventually delivers me, I'll go to church. God gives me the victory, then I'll do this, then I'll do that. But right now, I'm suffering. But, you know, self-doubt and self-pity. And what Paul is telling the Thessalonians is that they had this ability not necessarily to take the circumstances on, but to conquer them. Because in the world, we're going to have tribulation. Paul was interested in describing, really, the spirit that endures circumstances, but also overcomes them. So you're not the object of someone being beat up on you. You may get the strength of the enemy upon you, and you take the punch, but then you give one back. That's the endurance. You're able to take it so that you can overcome it. You're never taking it so that you can take it and you can take it and you can take it. There comes a moment when your faith acts and your love acts and you stand for the Lord and all the blows of life comes and you accept them as they come, but they transform you. They're stepping stones for achieving something different in your life and greater in your life. So I don't take lightly the issues that you are facing today. I have my own issues. The issues that come at every stage of life. The issues that come at every moment of our hearts. We wonder what's going to happen. And sometimes they come and they're blows. Of course, they're blows of life. Of course they come. And you accept them because it's God's will for you to go through them. But you don't accept them just to be a punching bag. You accept them so that you can overcome them. Overcome that. You don't get down there on the floor and stay down there on the floor. You get beat up, but then you get up. That's what the Thessalonians were doing in their lives. It's an uplifting message to know that you can beat up by the devil and you can stand up. And it's a comforting message to know that if you're being beat up today, you can stand as well. By exercising your faith, the growth, exercising love, caring for others. Well, it's not easy to say to me, you don't know what I'm going through. I probably don't. And you know what? Keep it to yourself.
the right sense of the word, you know. We say there are certain things that you can only go through all by yourself. Isn't that true? And then the other things you can share. Those things you share, let me know. Because we share each other's burdens. But basically, God has something. He's doing something in your life. A peculiar work of faith and love. And you may be enduring things that are rough, and you look around and say, nobody's going through what I'm going through. Just like saying to the Thessalonians, you know, you don't have the big choir, you don't have this, you don't have that. And self-doubt can come to them, self-doubt comes to you, but you can stand because in reality, you have faith. You. It's not a theory, it's a certainty. You know that the love is there and that the faith is there. And the pounding of circumstances does not make you any less a child of God and a recipient of his grace. Some of us have to go through it. But Paul tells us how this is all going to end. It's called mutual glory, because in verse 6 and 7, a magnificent passage of scripture, he says, God is just. He will repay back trouble to those who trouble you. Those who trouble you, and give you relief to you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus. This is a day of reckoning. There is a day when everybody will pay what they owe. There will be a day where accountability comes. None of us get away with anything. And the Lord will come. Either the Lord comes to you or you go to him. And that's the time that God will deal with this thing. He will deal with every one of those things. He says, with blazing fire, with his powerful angels, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will punish everlasting destruction. God's not going to spare them. God will not spare the enemy that has attacked you and has done so much to you. But the scripture tells us that God has a reward, and that reward is coming. So there is a reason why you go through what you go through. And the reason is simply for you to grow in the things of God. And when you endure, when you understand God working in your life, you have learned how to endure. But you've also have learned how to endure. Because you've stayed fastly. You have not moved. Yeah. That you will be shining in the dark place of life. So sometimes wonder, what are you and I producing in life, and how are we enduring, and how are we conquering? As someone who teaches teacher ministers at Facultad and at Pacific, my prayer is that the ministry exerted there will produce good pastors, good scholars. Those of you who want to have, good scholars, good students coming out. Parents, as you go through what you go through, you want to shine in such a way that your children will and begin to understand what it means to live for life in Christ. But what you endure with all those issues, that what you're going through, that this difficult time that you're going through, you will endure victorious. What a tremendous responsibility for you. Simply say, I'm going through what I'm going, and the Lord's going to get me. Because together we will. So you may not have the best circumstance in your life. You wrongfully compare yourself to somebody else. You're demoralized and you feel diminished because of the pounding of the enemy And yet, Paul says that in the midst of all of that, you must increase your faith. And he says, you are. As you go into the Word, you allow the Word to speak. And he also says you have to increase your love. In the midst of your disappointments, in the midst of where you are today, an increasing love means serving others. Oh, what would be a real neat thing if a week from now you will be doing something you've never done before. You push yourself beyond the limits with God's help, and you say, I'm going to trust God who will give me the ability to do this. So, Lord, I commit to you my condition, my concerns, my trials, my problems, but Lord, I'm going to take a step of faith, and I'm going to go by serving, by doing something I've not done before. Then you would have the privilege and responsibility of shining in dark places. Least expected. Sometimes I think the enemy holds us back just simply because he knows the potential that you and I have. Everything he can, slow you down. Don't slow down. Push. In Jesus' name. With wisdom that you get from this word. So, get into the word. Read even the genealogies, as I said. Someday I'll tell you that my name is in the Bible, but I won't tell you that. Once you do that, try to find your name in the Bible. When you find it, let me know. With the exception of Esther. Or Ruth. Or Mary. Get into the Word. Build that faith. And go in love. By service. Help somebody, somehow. Means that you have, with the ability that you have. And then endure the tribulations, because they're going to be very short-lived. And when Jesus comes in a blaze of fire with all his mighty angels, oh, what a day that will be. Now and then, we have Thessalonians. The Lord, help us to learn to endure and to conquer. Help us to shine like lights in a dark place. Help us to see the result of what it means to serve. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Amen and amen. Let's stand together.
Lord, I lift a name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
So somebody said to me, are you preaching to the congregation in front of you or the ones that are seeing you through Facebook? I said, face what? It's to you. To you who come to church. The ones who see us in Facebook, bless you, brother and sister. But we wish you could be here. Because this is a unique setting where God speaks to God's people who have assembled together. But God spoke to you too. May God bless you and strengthen you. And may you make it your way to God's house, where together in community we can serve him. Amen. So this is the day that the Lord has made. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. You can also check out our website for more information about our church at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.